worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, love from His throne unto His own, His anthem. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus our King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus our King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Felt good. Didn't that feel good? Ooh, we can do some more. Yeah.
Ooh, He is exalted. Our King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. On high, He is exalted. Our King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever. Exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name.
exalting him this morning. Have you noticed that? And Bill and I worked on a new old one, huh? That's also about exalting the Lord. So, bless the Lord. I think most of you probably know this one, huh?
Far above, oh God,
This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Lord, I worship you.
your name is holy.
Good morning. You think God paid any attention to all that static that was coming through the... No. He heard our hearts as we lift our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. We thank You, Lord, for who and what You are. Lord, may we always bring honor to Your name. May we always exalt You, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Worthy of our praise. Lord, we thank You for everything You're doing. Lord, we pray that You reveal Your word to us today, Lord, that You'd open up heavens for us. We pray for Your presence here. We pray, Lord, that You'd give us hearts and ears and Lord, to understand and to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I see our fly is back too. Yeah, that's true. That's why David picked up 5 stones. A lot of people don't know that. Well, we saw a theme through our worship, exalting the Lord. We also saw a word through there many times, the word all. First song we did was Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. We are invited to come glorify Christ Jesus, our King. Our King. He's our authority. He is our King. He is exalted. He is the Lord. I exalt thee. We make a choice, don't we? There's always a choice. Why do we exalt him? Because we recognize who he is. We recognize where he brought us from, where we were. When one day he just reached down, grabbed a hold of us, and pulled us up. How do we exalt him? By making him everything. By living to honor his name. We heard that word several times in our worship, honor. That means to place incredible value on something. And it also means to act accordingly, doesn't it? I stand in awe of you. I stand. It means more than just being erect or upright, although that's part of it. To stand means to remain upright, to not fall, to be in a state of fixedness, to continue, to endure, to be fixed or steady, not to vacillate. I'm not sure I'm even pronouncing that word. We don't hear that word a whole lot, do we? It means not to waver, to be steady in what we believe, to be firm. The Bible tells us several places, be holy, for I am holy. We're told to be perfect. That seems to be a pretty high standard, doesn't it? Be perfect. Yet I think what it really means is be real, be sincere. That's the goal we set for ourselves. That's the only thing that we'll be satisfied with, and we're going to strive and we're going to do everything we can to reach that. Nothing else will satisfy us. How much of you are you giving him? How much of me am I giving him? Is he really getting all of us? Second Corinthians 6:14-18 was our opening scripture. And actually, believe it or not, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. I'm going to go somewhere else. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? With unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Can light and darkness exist at the same time in the same place? It's either one or the other, isn't it? And you know, it's that way with God. It's either one or the other. Like we said, He wants all of us. There's a word that we hear a lot. The word is compromise. Definition of compromise, there's several of them here. It's an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. To settle a dispute by mutual concession. Give a little, take a little. Or it also means to accept standards that are lower than desired. What happens when we compromise with God? We're not giving Him what He desires. We're not giving Him all of us. There is a television show, I think it's still on, I don't know. It was called Let's Make a Deal. Everybody remember that? People dressed up in funny outfits and costumes, and they tried to get Monty Hall's attention so that they could just receive all kinds of things. I read a story Benny Hinn said in his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And whatever you think of Benny Hinn, you know, I believe he's used by God, because God does use, I believe a lot has been done through his ministry. But he was talking about the first time he was ever filled with the Holy Spirit. It was at a Catherine Coleman crusade. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and enjoying it. And he went home and felt the presence of God so strong. And he opened the door to walk in. And whoever it was he was living and staying with, they had the television on. And Let's Make a Deal was on. And I guess the Holy Spirit couldn't exist in that environment. How does God see compromise? God doesn't make deals. He doesn't compromise, and He doesn't want us to either. Psalm 119, 1 and 2, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. The New Living Translation says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. What does He want from us? He wants all of us. He gave us all of Him, didn't He? In the book of Exodus, we see Moses, I'm going to be in chapter 8 and also in chapter 10. See, Moses was sent by God to bring back His people, God's people, out of Egypt. They'd been in captivity for 430 years. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. There it is. 1 Corinthians 10:6 and 11, it talks about the things that they experience are examples or types for us, that we learn from them, we're encouraged by them. And then Paul was talking about the things, the events in the Old Testament. We see a lot of types in the book of Exodus. We see Egypt. Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents the devil. Israel, the children of Israel, represent God's people, us. Pharaoh was told to let the people go. In chapter 3, verse 18, God said, let the people go so they can sacrifice unto me. They can be reconciled to me, because that's what sacrifice did. It brings us into reconciliation, back into fellowship with God. The shedding of Jesus' blood did that for us. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We have to be reconciled with God. In 4:23, it says, let the people go so that they can serve me. What happens if we We're brought into reconciliation with God. We serve Him. We want to serve Him. In 5:1 it says, let the people go so they can hold a feast unto me. That's fellowship. That's a relationship. It's gladness, joyfulness. The order is important. There has to be the sacrifice first, and there has to be the receiving of the sacrifice. Then there has to be the service, and then there's the feast. There's the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's important for us. The prodigal son in Luke 15 uses the same order when it talks about the prodigal son, that he came to his own, and he went back and was reconciled with his father in his father's house. And he was willing to become a servant. He wanted to just be a servant in his father's house. But his father killed a fatted calf. There was a feast. There was a relationship. Pharaoh was told to let the people go. It took a little bit of persuading for him to finally do that. In the meantime, he was playing "Let's Make a Deal." He was offering a lot of compromises. Exodus chapter 8, verse, I'm going to read 25 through 27. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as He shall command us. Pharaoh saying, okay, I'll give you the time off if you want, but you're going to have to stay in the land. You're going to have to sacrifice here. And as I said, the land of Egypt represents the world. Satan would have us, wants us, okay, you can sacrifice God. You can worship to God. You can worship God. But stay in the world. Moses gave two reasons why they couldn't do that. Number one, he said that the Egyptians would be offended. It's easy to offend the world when you're a Christian, isn't it? We do it or at least we should be doing it all the time. We're either offending the world or we're offending Jesus. If we're not offending the world, we're offending Jesus. And if we're offending Jesus, if we're in the world and following the world, then we're offending Jesus. If we're following Jesus, then we're offending the world. How many here have loved ones or family that I was talking to somebody this morning, talked about when he was at home, trying to talk to his brother, trying to talk to his family, and he didn't want to hear it. I've got a sister like that. She doesn't want to hear it. She won't receive it from me. I just pray that she's going to receive it from somebody else. She celebrates Thanksgiving, but I don't know who she's thankful to. Just seems kind of empty, doesn't it? So we either offend the world or we offend Jesus, one or the other. The second reason for not willing to go along with this was it wasn't what God had commanded. What does it say if we continue to follow the world instead of following the things of God, following His commandments? Number one, it says that God is not to be obeyed. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. It says God is no better than any other God. Matthew 27, 37 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. It says God will save us, but we can do as we please. Is that true? But a lot of people believe it. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I'm going to raise as much hell as I want. I hate to use that word like that, but that's exactly what people think. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. If anybody thinks that they could live with the way they want to and be saved, then they better take a close, hard look at their salvation. 4th thing is, belonging to God makes no difference in the life of the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It says, in Christ. That's where we have to be. That's our position. You know, if we don't take our salvation seriously, is God going to? What makes us think that He will if we're not taking our salvation seriously? Second compromise is in verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Go ahead, but just don't go too far away is what he's saying. He lengthened the chain, but there's still a chain. Be a Christian, just don't go overboard about it. Don't be a fanatic. Don't overdo it. It says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Does that mean we're weird? Peculiar people, it actually has two meanings. It means purchased. And because we're purchased, it means that we're a special possession. But it also means different. We have to be different, and the world has to know who we are. I had a pastor in Oregon that he used to say all the time, if Christianity was illegal, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Does the world know that you're a Christian? Your neighbors, family? Is it just something you just keep secret? Just by the way we live. The difference is so there isn't any confusion about who we are. Isaiah 52:11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. That bear the vessels of the Lord, that's the servants of the Lord, and that's what every one of us are. If we're truly His. He says, go there, we go there. He says, do this, we do this. I'm going to move over to chapter 10. Verses 8 through 11. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Saying, don't take your children with you. Don't take your families with you. You go ahead and go. But don't force what you believe on your family members, on your loved ones. Just you. Let them decide for themselves. Who trains our children? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. But who trains our children? The television? The schools? Their friends? The world does. In many cases, I know a lot of us, most of us have grown children, but still we have grandchildren. We're supposed to be an influence, a godly influence in their lives. They need direction. They need to know where the boundaries are, where the fences are. They need to know. They need to have direction. They're children. Our families. There's a certain role that every family member takes. The children are supposed to obey their parents. The wives are supposed to submit to the husband, and the husband is supposed to love the wife. That order is very important. I know there's a lot of women that are trying to raise children, and they're trying to be the head of the household, and it's difficult. It can be done. They can still raise godly children. But a lot of times a man isn't being what he's supposed to be. You can look all the way back to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Adam was there with her. Why wasn't he saying, don't touch that? We're not supposed to. He just let her do what she wanted to do. Exodus 10:24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Well, he's going to let them go. He's going to let their family go, the children go. But leave your possessions here in the land. So what's wrong with that? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Who or what possesses your possessions? Who do they belong to? As Christian, everything we own belongs to God, doesn't it? Do we give it to the world? Said they were to go 3 days into the wilderness. That's what Moses said. You know, I had a problem with that when I first read it. I was thinking, well, he's not telling the truth because they're not coming back. But actually what it means is that they're going to go 3 days into the wilderness and they're going to offer the sacrifice. And yes, they're not going to come back, but that's where they had to be. Three is an important number in the Bible. It's a number of resurrection. It's a number of revelation. They had to distance themselves that far to where they're on resurrection territory, resurrection ground. How important are our possessions? You know, I don't know how many, several times I've had to leave everything I've owned and just had to go someplace else. When I came to Arizona, it was like that. It's just stuff. But yet, you know, stuff can be replaced, but the attitude of the heart towards our possessions can keep us in the world, can't it? In Jude 3, it speaks of contending for the faith. It literally means struggling. It makes me think of the birth process. Because there's a struggle just to reach the new. Contending for the faith. There's a battle going on. It's constant. Satan doesn't sleep. He wants to have you. He wants to have all of you. If he can't have you, he wants to have your children, your families. If he can't have that, he wants to have your possession. He wants to have a foothold into your life as much as he can. Because he wants to control you to a certain extent in every way he will. Come out from above, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Separate. Peculiar. Purchased. Different. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction you give us, and we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you send to guide us and direct us. Lord, just be with us and guide us into the things of you and away from the things of the world. Lord, we give you our heart. We give you our soul. We live for you alone. Lord, help us to be more real in our relationship with you. Help us to recognize the wonderfulness of that relationship. And help us to remember all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us today and just be with us and bring us back tonight. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.